your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is finally Friday, August 15th, as a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri and I shall be your host for today. Today is going to be an open line Friday. That means you can call and say what's on your mind, talk about what is trending inside the news, what is trending in social media, and I'll be happy to entertain your conversation. Perhaps I have something in to respond to it. Today, I had my first $5 hot party. That was an easy fate. If you know how cheap I am, but I like new things. Me and my wife like new things. Well, my wife like things in general. But me and my wife like new things. So I say, I'm going to see why someone have the audacity to charge me $5 for a hot party, a hottie party that is just as big as my fist. Man, I swallowed that whole. I mean, two bites. Finish. And then I say, okay. I have to buy two of these. So I spent $11.50.
That was the second one you
was
eating?
Yeah, it was the second one I was eating. I can't eat one hot party. So that was my breakfast, lunch, and perhaps half of my dinner.
Because yeah, I already over my budget.
Breakfast is $3.
Is the Bahamas continually gentrifying what we call poor people food?
And we need to establish what you mean by poor people food. What do you mean
working,
by poor people?
Okay, working class people food. Yes. Working people food, walk-in food, right? It's supposed to be inexpensive, easily accessible, easy to eat, right? You could walk with it. You could eat it while you're driving, mm-hmm. right? Only one hand necessary. For instance, my most favorite part of Trinidad, mm-hmm. Doubles. When I went to Trinidad, the people were protesting. Why? Because the price of doubles went up.
The people protesting the price increase of doubles?
Yeah.
What do you mean by protesting?
So the first time I went to Trinidad, the price of doubles was 4 TT. At the time, it was six TT mm-hmm. to $1. Okay. And so the price of doubles was under a dollar, okay. under US dollar.
Okay.
When I went back to Trinidad, it went up from 4 TT to 5 TT, and the people was protesting. The Trinity people tell me we ain't buying no doubles because we protest. I'd say I come all the way from the Bahamas for doubles, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bang. It's working class people food. It's poor people food, right? I come to the Bahamas now and I see doubles and the people say, we serving doubles. The first thing is it come with one barra in the Bahamas. You know why they call it doubles?
Why do they call it doubles?
Because it come with two barra.
Okay, two of them.
Inherently, it's called doubles. It come with two barra.
So how much does it cost here in Nassau?
Over 10 times what it costs in Trinidad.
It would cost $1 in Trinidad. So how much it costs in Nassau?
$10 minimum.
$10 for one?
for doubles with only one barra.
Oh.
Not even made with the whole chickpea flour.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's like we gentrify food that came out of a particular culture. But we still in that culture. We poor.
But humans are prepared to pay. We don't care how much gas is. We can ride. We don't care how much bread. Hold on, let me go. We don't care how much egg is. We could grumble. All those people's grumbling when egg was $11, $12, you know. But when they get a cheaper egg, they say, I ain't want that. I got to spend my $11 on this expensive egg.
Some of us have more dollars than cents.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Some of us have no sense of self and location. Like, we forget. Like, comforters.
Mm-hmm.
Conferences is poor people food. Mm-hmm. You take dried conch, mm-hmm. little bits of dried conch. When you use the proper recipe, you realize how little conch you for the fritter. And now you get pay dollar for fritter.
I think that's pricey.
I think it's criminal.
Mm.
I think it's blasphemy. It's blasphemy because the people don't even know how to make it properly. You're not supposed to make conch fritter with the white conch meat from the queen conch.
Well, the hot party did taste good. I mean, it didn't taste like when I went in Jamaica, but it was close.
You had that, and I guess that's important as well, right?
Yeah, the authenticity.
Yes. Authenticity of the experience, yes, right? Yeah. That you felt like you was eating a Jamaican patty. Yeah. And that's important.
Yeah. $5 is not a treat. Like I said, I already over budget and I hungry still. I want to know what I can do for the rest of the
day. You know what you guys pay for what they call, the Dominicans call plantanas?
How much?
You know, the double fried plantain?
Yeah.
Too much.
It's
double fried green plantain.
Yeah. Let's go to the column. Like I said, it's open line Friday. We're talking about what you want to talk about, but we have a couple of things that we want to talk about. There are a couple of things inside the news where I say, my Lord, I wonder if the Bahamian people are paying attention to this. But let's go to the caller, then we go see what you have. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio, AM to CA Nuri. You're live. Aaron Green is with me today.
Good morning.
Good morning, man.
Now, I you mentioned the doubles. My daddy's from Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
I buried my mother in Tunapuna.
Mm-hmm.
Doubles are available here. You can get doubles for $4.
Wait. Okay. I'll find out.
I noticed you get rich and switch. That I was trying to send you a text last night, but I couldn't get you. I said, you buy them old-time politicians. You know?
Change your cell phone. That's what it is.
The reason why I wanted to send you a text and contact you, I noticed that you experienced a situation with your internet service provider, and then you did mention it that it's not just one provider is doing that. It's all of them are doing the same thing. Sometimes, as you said, you got to put your phone in airport mode and take it off and on and off to make it work. I'm wondering whether you got your equipment, that is the phone right here, because I think, I know for sure that inferior products are brought into this country and sold for large sums of money.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go, it can't even give you a proper GPS. It can't do online banking and all of that. And when you Google it and try to search up on these phones, the only place they send you back to is a local business right here in the Bahamas. So it was customized, it was designed to be sold to us here.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to be very careful. I'm a consumer ombudsman. I'm watching what's going on. And I hope that you get your double at the right price.
Yes, sir.
And I want to say that patty, spending $11 a patty, you should have a belly full. But I would want to suggest to the public that sometimes you can buy in bulk. You can buy a dozen, and you may get a discount. I know the regular patties that the people are paying $2-something for, you can get a dozen for $16.
They ain't $2-something no more. They $5 now.
No, just...
It hurt me when I buy it. $5. $2-something I just squeeze my eyes.
There you go.
We hope it's so, sir. But from you say you could... somebody told me, buy the case out the freezer. I tell them, be so gentrified. That's okay, you know. You want to have it fancy, that's okay, but maintain the pureness of it. Maintain the intent of it, and make sure that there are accessible options for other people. Thank you.
And cousin George, they had jackfruit patty. I never taste jackfruit.
See, anymore. I'll pay $5 for jackfruit patty.
That was exotic.
That's a vegan patty.
Yeah.
Jackfruit in particular is very expensive in this jurisdiction, even when you're growing it, because it's a huge fruit, right?
Yes.
I could pay that, but you gotta have a basic for, I don't want to say for basic people, right? But Nuri, when you take me to the place on East Street, I feel guilty.
Yeah. Like you take advantage of them.
Enjoying the savings. Yeah. I don't live in this community, and so maybe this is not necessarily for me. I want to tell the little children, y'all go first, just in case they run out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these are the things that we should be mindful about.
That reminds me, today's soup day. You may have to stop there on East Street.
I jumping in your car.
You understand. You need to taste the
soup. I jumping in your car.
And the soup in price. You're like, the soup and the hot pie the same price. And I get a lot of soup. There's something wrong.
I jumping in your car, sir. You taking me there.
Let's go to the caller. Go ahead. Guardian Radio, AM's open line Friday. How are you doing? Oh, I got to say happy birthday to somebody.
Okay.
Yeah, George and Norma birthday this week. Anyway, let's go to the caller so I can say formally to them.
And yeah.
Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio, AM.
Hey, gracious, you see. How you doing?
Doing well, man. How you doing?
Boy, glad our party going up. Guess what? Hot party, Coke soda, and potato chip. You ain't good for you to eat in the morning anytime, anyway. And second thing, right?
Look where you go.
The screen.
Yes, sir.
Could you remind the Bahamian people to please prepare for the upcoming hurricane? Because you know the hurricane have your name, so you know it's biggity.
Yes.
Man, you know what? I'm glad you put it like that. You know, I shall take it.
Hurricane coming bigger with attitude.
I waited too late. I should have taken it in that vein and said, you know, the hurricane is named after me. I need to make sure that everybody is prepared for this storm. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
And a reminder with that, the government say the storm shelters are ready. They're up and ready to run. There's something to celebrate. Do we have any government shelters as yet, or these are still churches we go to?
The Abaco shelter is not open yet, 6 years after Dorian. And I can tell you what, Mr. Newry.
But everything ready except that one.
If they open the Abaco shelter on the anniversary of Dorian, 6 years later, and ask anybody to clap their hand, I go into Abaco and I can become the PM of Abaco. Mm. That it would be so disrespectful. The people have been waiting for 6 years. Mm. For this hurricane shelter. Let me go search Bahamian government
thank
hurricane
God
shelter.
Lord has tarry any storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let me do my, while she was searching, let me say my happy birthday greeting. George and Norman Newbold, I saw them on the party line. I know George when I was younger. He's one of those mentors for what I used to be, royal ambassadors. So it's good to see a distinguished gentleman who helped grew me up. So I was happy to extend salutations to him.
I got some good information just now. It looks like we have a whole hurricane website. Remember the government's creating websites
Sergeant
for specific
is working.
Sectors?
Yeah, Sergeant is working.
Yeah.
Go ahead. You see it? That's before I go to callers?
No, go to the caller.
Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
That's me, right?
Yes, you, man.
All right, good morning, Ms. Green and Mr. Neary.
Morning.
And happy birthday also to the Nobles.
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Grant.
Yes, sir.
You know that thing what they call the, and Mr. Neary I'm speaking to, the thing what they call the Sahara dust.
Saharan dust, yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like that's a good and a bad thing for us who live in the Caribbean, who live in the hurricane
zone.
Areas,
So I think
Sahara. They say it is full with people who have, like, not asthma, but.
Right, respiratory issues. So for people who have respiratory issues and allergy issues,
yeah,
right?
They say it is through that, but it has stopped the hurricane when it's trying to form it.
Right. So what the dust's presence in the atmosphere impacts the atmosphere in a way that makes, like, it's less likely for a hurricane to happen. And so, like you say, there are positives and negatives. Some people.
Where did dust come from, Miss Green?
Sahara Desert.
Yeah, and where Sahara Desert is?
West Africa on the western side, way over the Atlantic.
Way there.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you know, use the humility, empathy lady, right?
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you think it's a better way, if you was rich as some of the, not picking on anyone because we appreciate what they do, the web shop owners who do the school bags thing when school opening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it a better way we could do it? Because I was coming up with
crazy
idea thinking if it's a better way and working through the schools, like with the different classrooms.
I appreciate you bringing it up.
For the children who attend, right?
Yeah.
Different from people just come and getting it because you say you have children, right?
Mm-hmm. Here's a perfect example, Papa.
Let me finish that point, please.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I don't write it down, I can forget it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that. You know, you was the teacher, please excuse me. I don't know if you remember when we used to go to school, when I used to go to school, with some books you had to buy from the shop, but my parents couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
With these things where you follow, the teacher wants it because it helps to teach you, make you more get your grades good and everything. Well, they kind of expensive, and this list what they give to the children when school close or when you get the report card to come back for the new year. Them things all together, if you get everything, could cost here in the Bahamas, with the cost of living, like maybe $200 and something or $300 some places all together.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if it was me or you, I mean you, if you think it's a good idea, maybe we would have worked through the schools, and rather than them black and white books, the exercise books, and maybe some Capri Sun or juice or whatever, and cheese doodle and all that, maybe these things what they really need, what the parents might can't afford, would have helped the teacher to be able to work better in the classroom, to give them, so they could get their grades maybe better when they go home to do the homework, whatever, the parents work along with them. So that was my point.
All right.
You want to say something to that?
Okay, so
thank you, Papa.
Charity versus...
Hey, listen, if you don't mind, Mr. Neary, let me listen to that, because I don't want to bring something to your attention since you say this is an open line. We don't
get Go ahead, Bob.
So charity versus structural reform, right? We can ask these people who have been making great contributions, charitable contributions, right, to shift focus and begin impacting the country by engaging or initiating structural reform. So instead of having back to school giveaways, like giving away book bags, we could set up manufacturing stations in two or three of the junior or senior high schools, and students can be making bags locally, right? Along with adults making bags locally, right? Students could be working in the summer towards making bags. They could be working throughout the school year if they are excelling, if they're hitting their academic markers, or if they have a dire economic need. In terms of the books and the cost of purchasing books and how so many parents can, these guys who contribute so wonderfully through charity can contribute through structural reform by forming a conglomerate that lobbies for and accesses a type of licensing that allows schools to photocopy books, right? So they it's like charitable, but they pay for a special license that allows teachers to photocopy specific books, right? And so that's the way that we could encourage those big money guys to shift the way that they contribute to the country with more sustainable efforts. And then we could, from books, we could be turning used clothing into PE uniforms, into after-school and extracurricular gear. It's all kinds of things that we can do to shift charity to structural reform. Next caller?
Oh, he's still online. He's gone?
Oh, no, yeah, he's gone. Papa, sorry about that. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller.
I tell you, you was answered the best way. You see how you break that down? I wasn't even thinking like that. I just thinking they get the money so they can afford to pay for a book for every child. You say how to make copies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The conglomerate and stuff. It's grand.
Because we don't want them to pay for it, but we want them to help us construct something that is sustainable.
But I wasn't thinking like that. Mom, it's grand. Different from the talk show. I tell you, Chicago line, that we like you all here to be able to educate us. But I don't know if this the only... I think y'all can play a role.
I agree with you. I underemployed.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
You get so much to offer and so much in the grave right now. Talent and things where we didn't suck up like a sponge. And there's so much we could get from you right now, different from just being on a talk show for an hour or 2 hours. Ms. Graham, one last thing I tell you, Mr. Neary. Mm-hmm. The Guardian News with Channel 12?
No.
What we call it? We call it Our News?
Yeah, Our News.
Two separate entities.
They're the same news set of people?
No, they had a partnership at one point, but now that contractual relationship has ended technically.
That just ended lately, eh?
Yeah, about a year and a half ago.
Because I just started observing it. I just started observing some news would come on. They used to be right on The Guardian too, but I don't hear them on, like for instance, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was reported on Channel 12 last night, Our News. I didn't hear it on the news here this morning. That's why I bring it to your attention too. Maybe you all might be aware. They were talking about the former judge, former MP, Elliot Lockhart.
Mm.
They were saying they have a warrant arrest out for him.
Yeah, we saw that in the papers.
Yeah, in the Bahamas. You aware, right?
Yeah, I saw it in the papers yesterday, I think.
So what becoming of what they saying they could do them? They finding me coming back home here in the Bahamas hiding or what?
We don't know where he is.
I'm not sure if they've located him.
Maybe someone should reach out. Just a suggestion so they could maybe consider investigating more, like the Minister of National Security.
Said. You mean like what he said? You referencing his quote, right?
Which one?
It don't matter.
Yes. His quote, yes, teacher. Oh, you good, you good.
Papa, thanks very much, Brad. Thanks very much. Papa made me forget what I was going to say. But I appreciate him. I definitely the his concern about the giving out of books and bags and whether it should be involved with the school and social services is something that we should consider.
Mm-hmm.
I see various businesses spend thousands or if not millions of dollars on books and bags for Bahamian students.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure if the persons who really need it is actually getting access to it.
And so we need to have a better system to ensure that those who are in need get access.
And some of us need to moderate our behavior.
Yeah, man. Right? Some behavior is selfish.
Right. You noticed that some people were complaining that MPs at their events are requiring people to bring voters' cards, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not because they're being, what's the term we like to use?
Mm-hmm.
Niggardly.
Mm-hmm.
It's because some people have been taking advantage of these charitable
efforts. They do a tour.
Efforts.
They go to every
And I can be honest with you, if you have your own car, you likely don't need more than one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you may have your own car and four children. Mm-hmm. And so by the time you hit the fourth child, you may have run out of money, and we understand you need the support. But the people who need greatest, who have greatest need, they don't have car.
Mm-hmm.
They can't walk to the place.
We have another caller there. What you have there reading there? Go ahead, caller. God in real AM.
Well, I got story.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning, sir.
I don't want to... There's much fanfare and much excitement about the seal indictment, right? Indictments, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in listening to you on CA, right, especially you, Aaron, right, you're highlighting the imbecility within the education system as it relates to logistics. Now, I didn't know if I heard you well, but I would like to juxtapose what you said to textbooks and the scarcity of textbooks or the availability, accessibility to primary school students, especially in the government schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my youngest daughter goes to a government school, and I'm about to put a little man in a private school, which is very, very exhausting for me at this age, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at the school that where my daughter goes, you know, I buy the textbooks. They're very costly. It doesn't matter what grade they're in, but they're costly. And then you're looking at the affordability for other students. And then so when I was in primary school, students that wouldn't have books, which was really minuscule at the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We would share the book as you sit by with somebody, et cetera, et cetera. So now that you're talking about making copies, NGOs, anybody like the school fundraising program, et cetera, et cetera, maybe they should think about copying the books and make sure every child has a book. What would you think about that? I don't know if that's what you're saying.
Right. So there's a special license, I think, that can be accessed by schools, right? So it's not individuals, but schools.
I'd like to make a point before I hang up.
Go on.
No, I mean, you could finish the screen.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't want the producer to just press my button.
Yeah, so I'd be very quick. There's a special license, and it allows a different type of use of the material. So when you buy a book, it's only one place and no photocopying. This license allows a school to produce copies for the purpose of the school, right? And then we could add to that a buyback program where you encourage the students to keep the books as pristine as possible because you're going to sell them back to the school.
Ms. Green, yes, I would politely give them to another student. It doesn't matter to me. You know, what I'm saying is that for me, inexperience in the government system, say we're in the government and private school. So what I'm saying is I see the disparity. And so what I'm saying is the fact that in the school where my daughter goes, I have to buy everything when it comes to art and craft. When I was in primary school, we didn't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying is they use her stuff to supply other people, other students. And she's telling me that the glue, the paper, whatever. I'm not even going to get into that. What I'm saying is then they're telling me that migration is not affecting us. It's very imbecilic. It's putting your head in the sand. We see where, as a gentleman on the other day, Ms. Green, talking about his nephew, who is being pressured to join a Haitian gang. Voices just being neutral with everybody. And so I have a nephew who's Haitian Bahamian. And so I'm looking at that. His mother's a Bahamian. I'm just saying I'm looking at it as a potential that people should look into. The government is just turning a blind eye to the scenario. You see what I'm saying? And it one day the head will burst. I was just happened to have this opportunity being caught the other day. Out of the 15 or 20 cases that I saw, it was maybe about three Bahamians in there. And I heard the Sunnians, and I don't know who all changing their names. What I'm saying is, you know, this is ridiculous as the education system. And then the reason why little man go into a private preschool is because Naomi Black said they don't have no space. So I don't know who this is affecting, but I don't know if the prime minister and all these elitists, right? I don't know where they're living. And maybe they should think about Thanksgiving. I don't know. I really don't know where they are living. But the Bahamian people are being duped all the way to the polls. And the fact that you're talking about, they're talking about voters' card and disregard. Exploitation is the order of the day. I live in the inner city. I know what I see, you know. I don't need no one. No one can gaslight me. You see, and it's sickening for me. And then it's all about voters. It's all about their self-interest. It sickens me. They can't even come to me for no vote because it doesn't even make sense. Because I'm too, my sense of what is going on, It's too high, and I they don't mean anybody well. They can never be a 5-year magician for somebody like me. I'll go to the grave, detesting their attitudes and their will. I mean, and their haughtiness.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, 52. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I was looking for an article. I think maybe it's in yesterday's paper with the chair of the Contractors Association. Mm-hmm. And he's basically saying, there's a construction boom.
Yes.
Get skilled. Get your skills up and take advantage of the work that's available. If mm-hmm. that's the case, mm-hmm. if that's the case, it suggested what I've been putting on the table, that it's $10 billion worth of investment to be taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. We don't have enough labor organized.
We spoke about
to
that
realize it, right?
Too. And we spoke about that like 2-3 years ago, whether there is enough Bohemian labor to facilitate all this investment.
To what 52 said just now, he's living the impact of the increase of the migrant population, right? But I want to say this, 52. If the Contractors Association says, hey, all of the jobs are here, get skills so you could get them. That's why the migrants are here, because they are filling these jobs. Then surely the crisis is an administrative crisis that cannot increase the inventory of infrastructure and resources to match the needs of its own policy agendas. Like you said, you send in the child to a private preschool or daycare because the public one is filled. The government knows it needs to build more preschools. Mm. They know this the same way they know they need to build more shelters, the same way they know they need more affordable housing, the same way they know they need more clinics and more space in the clinics, like more chairs to accommodate people, the same way they know they need more junior schools, the same way they know they need more high schools, the same way they know they need everything. And so 52, I appreciate what you're saying. You feel the impact of the increase in migrants, but the crisis exists because of a lack of administrative focus on the resources and infrastructure necessary to realize their own policy agenda and initiatives.
Aaron, 2 days ago, the Guardian reported that the persons who managed Awaki mm-hmm. was complaining about a structure being built there.
No, so, they weren't even complaining.
Go ahead.
The chair of the association was warning the people who were building in that area of the environmental the environmental dynamic, that twice a year the place flood out,
yes.
right? And then you have the person working for the authority managing the space saying, man, we've been looking for these people to get them cease and desist. One has gotten the cease and desist, the other we still trying to find them.
So I went out there to say, let me see what this building looks like. It's a 3-story building.
Yes.
This took time to build.
Yes, we watched it on video.
It took a while to build.
The government cannot move at the pace of its own policy, because surely from you saw somebody pulling a truck up and offloading
cement blocks,
you supposed to cease and desist
what
that foolishness
doing?
Right away.
A tractor had to dig the hole. You know, this is a big building.
I'm not complaining.
Built it on the beach, you know. This isn't on the side, yeah. on the beach itself.
I'm complaining, but here's why I can't get one of these jobs. Mm. I just want the job to deliver the cement.
Yeah, can you imagine? Let's go back to the call. It's open line of Friday. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
And to you, Miss Green.
Good morning.
Oh, sorry, I talked too loud. I got to whisper because I'm calling from the 21st century and I don't want anybody to know where I am.
You almost spooked me.
Miss Green, you spoke about the books. Just let me make these 3 or 4 points quickly. You spoke about the books.
Mm-hmm.
There's a process that I've been advocating in the Bahamas for 24 years. That means it existed before I came home. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's called SEATS. SEATS, and you hear people talk about it from a software perspective, like they say, and I had this argument with government when they were using the bootleg. I mean, we're still using the bootleg office and other things, right? And I think even the U.S. Embassy a decade or two ago even spoke about this. But here what happened. You're in the government office, and you got 20,000 workers who all may use Microsoft Office. So you don't get a license for 4,000 of them. You get a license for 5,000 of them. And what a seat says is that you have a license for all of them to use it, but only 5,000 of them, 25,000 of the 24,000 can use it at any one time.
Okay.
So what happens is you could get digital rights to these books that we have for the children, and we in tablets. But imagine this. I talked to this before the tablets now, but now we do. We're still using tech desktop there. But let's say you have a license on a tablet for every single one of the kids to use Microsoft Office. What happens is we have the 100,000 kids at home when you have license for 20,000. So anytime one of them go to use it, it will say that, you know, there isn't a seat anytime. You can put a timeout to stop somebody from logging in and just have it sitting there. But what the system does now, it learns, right? And let's say you have the 5,000 license, but one time 5,100 people uses it. It actually learns to see over time the amount of time you open overage, and it'll recommend to you that you buy a certain number of seats for an education process. Mm-hmm. That's just the 21st century. But the problem with that is that we need a government that understands adaptive development and personalized teaching in the 21st century. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is plain and simple. This is something that I can provide you radio shows going back 20 years that I appeared on and talked about these things.
Okay.
Assessing abilities, developing skills, adjusting learning levels, providing help, and tracking progress of our students. But let's see. Maybe God bless me to reach my 80s. Maybe we'll talk about this again, or we'll choose a government that's capable of executing this, considering that January 1st, you're in the 21st century. Quickly, the second part. You talked about the shelters, right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you know if you actually build homes that is hurricane resistant, you need less, or hurricane aware, whatever where you are, you need less shelters, because we will never build enough shelters to have about 400,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to build better, more so. So you take people to shelters for those that are, you know, medical and at risk and all those other different things, rather mm-hmm. than a standard of we need to get the shelters because all the houses in the neighborhood is prone to certain things. But again, that's adaptive technology, using data to achieve what it is that we want to do and how to do it. And so when you look at the whole aspect of governance, right, if you have real-time data input by government as well as individuals going in, and there's this concept called artificial intelligence, that can actually analyze the data coming in, provide information to people at real time, actually learn from questions that the people are asking the government or other things, and get the right answers, you know, then there's hallucination, correcting it, and all of these things. These are literally available, and most of them are literally for free. But one of the major things I want to talk about is the need for economic empowerment and ownership of our economy.
Okay.
Just understand this. There's this simple concept that we use. You know, we talk about the DAO, but it's called fintech. Whether it be tokenization or something else, I can assure you, and I would like for you or somebody else in the Bahamas, somebody who understands finance, to challenge me on this. The only two people in the Bahamas that cannot be financed for business or home ownership or short-term vacation rentals is those under 18 and the dead.
Okay.
Because those two cannot legally sign a contract. And this is not some futuristic thing. You could get a loan today, mm-hmm. Right now today, at 80 years old, you could get a 30-year loan for a house or for short-term vacation rentals or whatever. The limitations we have is us. And I'll end this with my last statement.
Right, you said a couple of times.
People often remain in the dark, not due to lack of light, but failure to open their eyes.
I appreciate you, Ciela. Aaron, I'm not sure if you know that social services provide support only to people who have a Bahamian citizenship status or permanent resident status?
Well, I'm not sure if that's technically the correct, but
I read the headline.
I think you would have to be referred, if you're a migrant, right? Like, you have to be referred to social services by another agency.
So a migrant So another agency could recommend that the social services render support?
Remember, we had people whose status was undetermined necessarily.
As I said, we put up an OPI after the hurricane. Some of them still
the
there.
The gym. The gym, the Bernard Road facility.
Yeah.
And so I think it has to be a request from another agency.
Mm.
Right?
Because there's a number of people on wait lists. Bahamians who are on wait lists. Can't mm-hmm. find a house, right? A transitional house. Can't get a uniform assistance.
It's a problem. Here's a problem. Social services can't help you find a house.
Yeah.
Social services can't help you find housing.
Stay in your car.
No, that's not what I was going to say. No, I'm not going to say that at all. That's not what I said at all, Mr. Yuri. What I'm saying is that as long as we allow that inane conversation to continue, people will remain living in their cars. We do not expect social services to find permanent housing for
people.
They want
permanent housing.
The ministry responsible for housing.
Bill House, man. They bill in. And then they say you got to come up with $100 or $1,000. That won't help nobody. That don't help nobody. But I found that interesting in terms that I know they bulldoze in or plan to bulldoze shanty towns. And there are a number of Bohemians or people who have Bohemian citizenship or permanent residence.
Because that makes them Bohemians.
Right, yeah. And there are people who transitional, right? And I want to know, where do they go? Or they just move on to the next shanty town and keep on moving on to the next
shanty.
That's
what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Because you're destroying residences without identifying and directing people to alternate accessible housing.
But they said, social services coming. They said social services going to come in and do a tour. That's what they told them. I didn't know we had housing available like that. It's like over 100 houses. Let's say 50 of them.
I you remember I tell you I stopped complaining?
Yeah.
I just want the job of the person who gets to say, oh, don't worry, social services is going to do a tour.
Yeah.
I want that job.
I found it interesting. Let's go to the next caller there. Guardian Radio. You have any text? Guardian Radio. AM is open line Friday today. Press the button, Aaron. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear us? Call girl once. Press again. Let's see what happened. Can you hear us now, caller? No? I mean, I see you, caller. We trying. No, they ain't dead. No, they got to get turned right.
Good morning, caller. All right, don't watch it.
Yeah, go ahead. Call us back. I see you. Hang it up so they can know that we meant them. So they can call us back.
All right. So here's a text. It says, since this is an open line, I'd like to address the slack policing of prostitution. I read a story this morning in the Nassau Guardian about a man charged with rape who claimed the woman only reported it because she didn't receive the $500 she had asked for.
He was going to pay $500?
Legally, while the man should be prosecuted if he committed rape, if there is evidence that the woman was selling her body, she should also be charged. Too many women are engaging in transactional sex, and nothing is being done about it. Now, hold on. First of all, because transactional sex is not illegal, this behavior increases the risk of spreading diseases. Now, there is a public health and safety concern. Puts these women in danger and erodes the moral fabric of our society. We need to take a much stronger stance on prostitution. So what exists in the law right now is prostitution isn't actually illegal. Solicitation is illegal.
What do you mean by solicitation? On the streets and waving people down?
That's like
advertisement.
That's like the agent who says, I am selling this product on behalf of the product.
But what if I say I am selling my product on behalf of me? Soliciting?
I don't think that's necessarily...
I advertise it.
But where are you advertising?
I could advertise on WhatsApp.
That's possibly solicitation. But the point is that the actual act and the exchange of...
Yeah, money.
On remuneration or numeration or like money.
Exchange in a robbery?
No, that's not what that means.
No, that's not... No.
But yeah, it's the solicitation that's illegal.
Okay.
Okay, so there's more text. Let's go back to the text line. Here's a text. We must stop all citizenship and only give permanent residence and work permit only. We must also stop immigrants from changing their names to Bahamian names. First of all, texter. What do you mean Bahamian names?
You mean the European
names?
Yeah, the common European names that we have adopted and called the Bahamians. That's what you mean.
Adopted from our?
Oh, it's forced on me.
Okay, good stuff.
But now I have it. I can defend it. It's like those black people who live like Roseville and say, oh, this ass, that wasn't y'all own. That's the slave master own. You just happen to be one of the things slave master own, and now you come back.
You still carry the name of the brand.
Yeah. You brand it.
Yeah. Here's a text. I'm going to paraphrase this. They're saying, could the FNM... give C. Allen a platform to explain how they're going to help people transition from shanty towns to approved housing before the election and not after.
So let's challenge C. Allen to create a platform and explain that.
All right. They reference Pintard's housing revolution.
What are the lines blinking?
And then somebody said in regard to our conversation about prostitution, yes, it's true. But relationships are transactional, man.
Yeah, man.
Good morning.
I had a girlfriend once.
Good morning. 52 is saying that if not for the Haitian illegal migration, the government would not have to build more schools. And you were telling us, let me tell you all something. They ain't building schools for Haitians or Bahamians. Turn down your radio caller. You next.
Good morning. You next. We're coming to you right now. Go ahead. You finish it for their talk.
Yeah, but I stick a pin. They ain't building schools for anybody.
No. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio, you're in your life. We're trying to get all these calls in.
Good day, CA, and good day, Aaron.
Good day, good day.
Aaron, it's open line today.
Yes, sir.
Open line today, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, several things I want to ask about. They had a hearing on Tuesday with the indictment up in New York, and Dwight mentioned it this morning, but he didn't give any information on when they're going back to court on the date. Are you all aware of that as yet?
So I'm looking at the article in today's Guardian, Bahamians charged in mass drug trafficking case appear in U.S. court for status hearing. I'm going to page 3 as we speak. Next court date set for October 24th.
Okay. The next one is Arkenya, right? You know we should be given an account for that because they took $2.5 million.
Oh, you mean the plane?
Yeah.
The plane. Yeah.
From last year, I'm budget debate.
They don't care. They don't care about telling us. Sir, they don't care about telling us.
Yeah, but we need to know where the plane is, at least.
What's being done with it? How much money is ultimately spent to retrofit it or refurbish it or renovate it or for whatever purpose? What is the intended purpose? Is it actually being used for that purpose? All of those things, sir, a reasonable person would expect from a reasonable government.
Okay, another thing. The Turks and Caicos the other day with the immigration issue.
Mm-hmm.
They stopped the work permits and put a lockdown on immigration, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They're in crisis, actually.
Yeah, so we're in crisis.
No, we ain't as bad as them. They're in real crisis.
With 52 say, you know, we have to be concerned about that because it put all kind of stress even on our social system. So, and one last thing. 2 weeks ago, they said that they're going to pave 40 miles of road in San Salvador and fix the dock and all the rest of that.
Yes, sir.
Can you all make sure they give us an account, like the glass window bridge, on what the breakdown of that mechanism would be? Because it's 32 miles that goes all around San Salvador. I know where they're going to pave 40 miles of road in San Salvador. And Aaron, one day I'm going to take you down there, like I took your auntie, the late Juanita Green, with me, okay?
Yes, sir.
What we will do.
But not before you come on the show. Not before you come on the show and we talk about Sansal.
Don't worry. That's one.
Okay. Let me ask you this question, Aaron.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, the Minister for National Security went over, and I appreciated his commentary too. He went over the duty of care that the Bahamas, I put it in quotes, it's my words, the Bahamas has for those men who are being charged for, in this case in New York, mm-hmm. right? He said the only duty of care is for the embassy, what do you call it?
The consulate.
The consulate to provide whatever support they render there. Let's say that's a given.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say everything what the minister said, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Right, he's saying that the government itself does not give any additional assistance. It's for the consulate who gives support and whatever, in quotes, whatever that support is.
Mm-hmm.
However, our prime minister said those men suffer from entrapment. That's a different charge altogether.
I would like to put
he didn't say that. First of all, let's say I want to make sure I misquote him. I remember the word entrapment, and if it is entrapment, I think we have a duty of care.
I think if he used the word entrapment, it would have been used in a sentence that was actually a question. And I think
was it entrapment?
I think the way that
we need to research that then. And then I'll yield because I don't want to misquote. It's not intentional that I'm trying to misquote. I just remember the word entrapment. And I'm questioning if it is entrapment, whether the government now has more duty of care to assist people who are being entrapped.
You have a legal background as well, right? You sharper than me. When a judge gives a ruling, there's two types of language he uses. There's obiter dicta, and then there's something else, right? One is like speaks directly to the legal principles, mm-hmm. and the other one is like an aside, mm-hmm. right? sometimes when the prime minister is speaking, it's really just an aside, you know.
You think so?
I get in that impression.
You know, the former...
Because he's a good... Hold on, because he's a good... This boy is a good lawyer. Everybody across the world says this boy is a good lawyer.
And so you don't misspeak. You don't misspeak.
But no, see, he does.
He does misspeak?
Yeah, because we're going to give him that grace. Because he couldn't have been serious about 75% of the things he said. However, those things that he said, it's like he's not in the courtroom. And so maybe to him it's just an aside and not obiter dicta, right? Like it's not the important thing speaking to the actual case. It's just I just talking.
I
get the impression that this boy spent a lot of time just talking.
I'm just saying that the media never re-questioned that or re-designed. So what about the entrapment? If it is entrapment, do we need to owe more duty of care to protect our citizens? Because we don't want our citizens to be entrapped.
Here's a headline from the Nassau Guardian. It's a quote.
Mm-hmm.
This is the headline.
The headline
starts with a quote, quotation mark. It appears officers were entrapped. Close quotes. Picture the prime minister. I'm going to read. PM Davis said it appears the Bahamian law enforcement officers charged in a U.S. indictment in connection with a massive cocaine smuggling operation were entrapped. Do you agree? That's the poll. Hold on, that's the poll.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can continue reading. Prime Minister Davis said yesterday it appears the Bahamian law enforcement officers charged in a U.S. indictment in connection with a... See, because we don't even know whose eyes he's using, which is why I tell you, sometimes his commentary just seems like an aside and not obiter dicta, like not the stuff we actually supposed to pay attention to. Let me continue reading from the article quickly. PM Davis said yesterday it appears the Bahamian law enforcement officers charged in a U.S. indictment in connection with a massive cocaine smuggling operation were entrapped. Quote, well... That whole operation is concerning to me because of the face. Because on the face of it, it appears to be... Because whose eyes, though?
He says to him. See, to him. It appears to him.
To be... And no, because he didn't say it appears to him.
Read it again.
Him. It says it appears. He doesn't say it appears to him. He just said it appears. Can't you just be good in court?
Okay.
Quote, well, that whole operation is concerning to me because...
See, to me.
No, it's concerning to him, but he didn't say who it appears to.
Okay.
Because on the face of it, it appears to be an entrapment of officers, and that is concerning, close quote, said Davis when asked about the matter.
See?
I'm telling you, I know this boy.
Call us. We're going to take this quick commercial break. We're coming directly to you, so don't hang up. No, don't hang up. As soon as this commercial break comes, we're coming straight to you, because it appears.
That we can go on a break.
It's entrapment or something. So I say we need to help some people out. Can't be entrapping.
Oh, no, behemoth. I thought it appears we was going on a break.
We're doing a break still, but we can't be entrapping behemoths and think I ain't coming to defend you.
You can't entrap me.
No, I come to defend you. Foreign entities entrapping my people. I come in to defend you.
That's what
the government's supposed to do.
I appreciate
that. Yeah. We're going to be right back.
Call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Looking for your dream job in paradise? At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, we're hiring. And with over 200 positions available, we're confident you'll find your perfect fit. Whether you're passionate about keeping guests safe as a lifeguard, or if mixing up refreshing cocktails as a bartender is more your speed, there's a spot waiting just for you. Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career to explore openings and apply today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
And we're back. Let's go straight to the callers there. Guardian Radio AM caller,
you're hey,
live.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
Doing well,
really
man.
Good.
Question. Could I make an appeal to the public?
Go ahead, quickly.
Yeah, I'm the father of the Roland Evans III, who was killed on in the Bayonetown area of Gustrick.
Yes, sir.
Alley Street.
Mm-hmm.
I want to appeal to anybody who has the information or any knowledge of what went down, or to come forward. They can, you know, call the CD unit or myself directly. If I could get my number, I would do it.
Yes, sir. If you want
to. My number is 557-4726. 557-4726. That's an appeal to anybody, good conscience, you know.
Yes, sir.
My son is a loving, kind person. He may have some issues, but he never do wrong. Not never do wrong, but he was in a person who was a menace in society to the public and in the area I live. So everybody can attest to that. So
yes, sir.
I like for those who use their good conscience, if they know, to come forward. As relates to crime, I feel the only thing we have is intervention to try to deal with this crime situation. Intervention. Because
go on.
A lot of things, whether it's the family, the father, the mother, the friends, brothers, neighbors, society, there's always signs of things that would go what happened, but we just turn a blind eye and dismiss it without care. And that's why I think we see a lot of these things going. Intervention is the key right now. People got to be their brother's keepers and try to prevent things. That's it. Prevent. That's the only way you can do it, because so much of our young men are being lost for senseless things. There's some misunderstanding. And people, for some reason, I think the gun is too prevalent in this road.
Yes,
too,
sir.
Too prevalent.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Again, this is the father of our latest homicide victim, and he's requesting, appealing for people who have any information to either contact the authorities, CDU, or to contact him at 557-4726. Also, Mr. Nuri, you see why I didn't go to take the law exam, right? Mm. So obiter dictum is the thing said in passing. The Prime Minister say that a lot.
Say it again, what the word is?
Obiter dictum. Right, it doesn't speak directly to the case. It's like said in passing in the ruling. Mm-hmm. I don't know, he say that a lot because he don't be in court a lot now that he's Prime Minister.
This has been Guardian Radio AM. It's now 12 o'clock. Have a good day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.